To many, sharks are the villains of the ocean. And pioneering Australian underwater filmmaker and shark researcher Valerie Taylor is prepared to take her share of the blame for that impression, having worked with her late husband Ron Taylor on the film Jaws. But we are the apex predators now, she says, wiping out shark populations at an alarming rate. At 85 years old, Valerie still swims with sharks, even plays with them, and she's dedicated to protecting the ocean's most maligned creature. Kiwi director Sally Aiken takes us into Valerie's world in a new documentary. It's called Playing with Sharks, the Valerie Taylor Story, and Valerie joins me now. Hello there.
Oh, good morning.
Nice to talk to you. And I should say right up front that you spent some of your childhood in New Zealand. This was during the war and the polio epidemic. So I wonder if some of your famous fearlessness might have started here.
Oh, I have no doubt at all it started there. But when you can't go to school, you can't see friends, you can't see your family, you're lying on a bed in agony, you've got nothing else to do but think of adventure. What you can do when you can walk again, what you can do. And I know it started there.
It sounds like the nurses here in the polio ward might have scared you more than any shark you've encountered since.
No. I was 12 years old, and I don't think I was afraid of anything except being unable to walk.
You describe in this film looking underwater for the first time here in New Zealand at age 14. How profound was that moment for you?
It changed the way I looked at the ocean. And looking underwater, all I was doing was lying on the surface with a homemade face mask, looking at a piece of kelp off Point Howard, Lower Hutt. I saw this kelp swaying backwards and forwards, and I was mesmerized. Huh. And there were a couple of what we call spotties swimming around it. And I watched the spotties swimming around this bit of kelp, and I was hooked. I was really, really hooked. I wanted to see more, and seeing more actually became my life.
Is there something, you talk about being hooked, is there something addictive about the water and diving into it?
There's something addictive about seeing places that no one else has ever seen, being the first human to ever get there, seeing the world as nature made it. This is underwater, and you can't see it today. No young person will ever see the marine environment as I saw it when I was young. It's a pity, but man has changed not only above water, but underwater, and neither place for the better. Mm. I went off and had adventure, met a beautiful man, got married, went through life going to places that no one had been, having great adventures. And during that time, of course, underwater, there were a lot of sharks. There aren't now, but there were then. Many, many. And we got to know them. They became common to us, seeing them around the place. And eventually we realized that not just sharks, but all fish had different personalities. The same as a pack of dogs on land, they'd all have different personalities. Or all wild animals on land, they're all different. There's the bully and the shy guy and the bossy guy. And it's the same underwater. And once you work all that out, you can actually not say, I won't say I'm not a friend with any of them, but you can become an acquaintance that they used to, an acquaintance that they will come up and meet you and sort of nod around, check you out, just like a dog. See if you've got any treats for them. They might hang around or they'll just go away. And I learnt probably in the mid-60s how to handle sharks. Before that, I was a spearo and I was always trying to get rid of them because they'd take the fish I'd speared. But once I realised what damage spearfishing was doing to all life on reefs, my husband and I quit. We were both Australian champions and we quit.
Hmm. Can I ask, how did your husband, Ron, come up with his nickname for you, Give It A Go, Valerie?
Oh, he was always saying, there'll be sharks off the bow. Valerie, give it a go. Jump. And I jump. I might add, the splash of me hitting the water would terrify the sharks. It'd take a while for them to come back. But I've had a great life. It's been terrific.
And
growing up
yeah.
as a child in New Zealand, I was probably fortunate. There was a war on. There was no plastic. There was no. We didn't have a phone, a fridge, a clothes washer, a dishwasher. We had nothing. And I had a very happy childhood. We were not wealthy. My boyfriend was a Maori, and I still love him dearly to this day, and we're still in touch. He married my girlfriend eventually, and his daughter is my goddaughter.
Oh, great.
So I do have a certain connection to New Zealand. It gave me a good start in life. The polio was a terrible thing, to be taken away from your family and stuck in Wellington Hospital with a whole lot of other people who were sick, dying, in the iron lung, lined up next to the iron lung. I know why it's called infantile paralysis, because all the babies died that came in. And I just lay there. It took 9 weeks for me to be well enough, strong enough to walk out. And the doctor had told me I couldn't leave the hospital until I could walk out the door.
Hmm.
And 9 weeks down the track, I walked out the door into my mother's arms. And that was a very special moment.
You've had an incredible life, and playing with the sharks, the documentary we're talking about, goes back and forth between the past and the present. You're actually an artist by training, not a biologist. And I wonder, does that give you maybe a unique approach to the underwater world?
From the very first, no one had told me anything that they thought I should know. And that's a good thing, because a lot of what the scientists and the marine biologists were yapping on about in those days, it wasn't right. It's what they thought.
Mm.
It's not what they had experienced and knew. And to this day, it's actually a little bit the same way. I see something on television where some scientist has made a great discovery, and I think, golly, we did that back in the 70s. What are they on about? But we're not scientists, so I don't have any nice letters before my name, like professor or doctor or marine biologist. I'm just an ordinary, very ordinary person who's led an extraordinary life and seen amazing things that nobody today will ever see, because the world underwater has changed as much as the world above water. And I have no regrets. Nobody's had a better life, nobody at all. And I write stories about what I've seen and what I've done. I always have written. I might be able to do arithmetic, but I can write. And what I write is from personal experience, not from looking at a computer or reading something in a book.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky that way. I was fortunate. I grew up in Lower Hutt, Wellington. I may never have known a boy who made a face mask carved it out of wood, glued glass in the front.
Wow.
And you had to push it on your face with your hand and hold it there.
Yeah.
So you could look underwater. And I borrowed his mask, and I can tell you, I didn't want to give it back. I just started to see this world, and I loved adventure. I wanted adventure. I lay in hospital thinking of it, and my life has been one big adventure.
All this adventure in the early days drew the attention of a certain Steven Spielberg. What did you end up doing with that movie Jaws?
Well, what happened was Richard Zanuck and David Brown, the producers of Jaws, sent us a galley proof of a book called Jaws, written by a man called Peter Benchley. And it was just galley proofs. And they said, did we think that this could make a good movie? And both Ron and I read them. And we thought, yes, of course, there's work here for us. So we wrote back and said yes, and they acquired the rights to the story. And when they went into production, they decided the first thing they needed was the live shark footage before they gathered up all the actors and actresses and went to Martha's Vineyard. And Steven Spielberg wanted our great white sharks to look 24 feet long. So we received from Hollywood a half-size cage, a half-size man, half-sized everything, but a full-sized production manager. And we went off down to South Australia where we knew we'd find great white sharks because we'd done it before. And we started filming. Ron started filming. And we finally got the shots they needed or wanted, and a few they didn't want, but they wanted when they saw them. And Universal did a very kind thing for Ron and Valerie. They took us both to Martha's Vineyard. We couldn't work there. We don't have a green card.
Hmm.
They took us there as a gift. So we met everybody who was working on and in the movie. Ron already knew Steven Spielberg because he'd been in America designing a 24-foot-long mechanical shark. And we became good friends with Roy Snyder. He was a lovely bloke. And we used to sit on the beach together during breaks. And they did the whole film. This is what startled, surprised and distressed everybody. It was a mechanical shark in a fictitious story, and the general public took it seriously.
Mm.
You don't go to New York and think you're going to see King Kong on the Empire State Building. But people seem to think if they went into the beach and walked into the water, there'd be a shark there. And it was a big problem. Sharks got a very bad name. You're more likely to fall over and kill yourself walking to the beach than walking into the water and meeting a shark. That's one thing. And the other thing, and I want to say this to everybody listening, you go into the ocean. You are a visitor in an alien environment. You make that decision. The shark doesn't decide to come up on land and bite you. He stays right out of your part of this planet, so why do you go into his? Well, of course, we all like the water, especially here in Australia, where it's a bit warmer than it was out of Wellington. and that's how it all goes. I've spent part of my life telling people, don't be afraid.
For anyone who's just tuned in, I'm speaking to Valerie Taylor, who's the star of a new Disney Plus documentary called Playing with Sharks, The Valerie Taylor Story. And she's talking to us a bit about her memories of Jaws and the aftermath and the effects that film had. In fact, the widow of the author, Peter Benchley, is in your film. And she says he would never have written the book if he had known what would happen to sharks.
That's correct. Absolutely.
You've gone so far, Valerie, as to put your arm in a shark's mouth to show they're not man-eaters. That's a big call, but is the point there that most sharks just aren't that into us?
Absolutely. There's well over 200 species of shark, and there's only 7 who might bite you. So, you know, they're not that bad. There's not so many left anyway. I believe only 10% of the sharks that were free swimming in the ocean are left because of the Chinese desire for shark fin soup. And they don't desire it because it tastes good. They want it because once only the very wealthy could afford to have shark fin soup. And now Chinese people are much richer than they used to be. And all of them can afford shark fin soup. And it's been very detrimental to the sharks of the ocean. And they're necessary, very necessary. They're part of a web of life that nature made that worked perfectly.
How many
nature
times?
Nature only ever made one mistake in all everything she's ever done to the planet.
Yeah.
And that was us. We're not behaving like we should have supposed to. Well, she gave us hands. It's our hands that have made us so clever. I mean, octopus are incredibly clever, and so are dolphins, but they don't have the hands that can build the sort of things that we do. And we have overpopulated the planet. We're still continuing to do so. We have devastated life in the ocean. The problem there is it's all free for the taking. It's not like a farmer who clears his land, ploughs it, plants a crop of wheat or grows grass for cattle, who has to take care of it so that every year he can get a crop or calves or make a living out of it. The fishermen just take they don't worry about the following year. Off Australia, and probably off New Zealand as well, they're targeting the breeding aggregations. And this is ridiculous.
Oh, I want to get to some of your adventures, Valerie, before we finish the call. And you describe sharks as your friends. You were certainly a friend to a great white shark that was caught in a net. Can you tell us about that and how you set aside any concern for your safety to free a shark in that position?
Of course we wanted to free it. It was caught in a wire trace. And we could see it. It was in a bad way. And we got out of the cage, and we couldn't free it in the water. And also it was dangerous because there could have been other great whites around. So Ron, my husband, we cut it free, but it was still tangled in the wire was on it. But we cut it from the boat that it was tangled to. And we swam it to a reef called Dangerous Reef. And we slowly untangled it. This is what I believe. The shark knew we were doing it. Hmm. It stayed calm. It stayed passive. We have been asked to take the temperature of a shark if we ever had the chance, and been sent from a Dr. Gruber in America a giant thermometer to do this with and told how to do it. So we took the shark's temperature, which was warm. It wasn't cold-blooded. It was warm-blooded. They tried to tell us that it had been fighting for its life, but it hadn't. It hadn't moved for at least an hour.
Mm.
Once we untangled it, we're in shallow water, we're holding the shark, I could feel the muscles in its body starting to swim. And we let it go, and she slowly swam out to sea.
Mm.
And she swam in a big circle, and she came back to where we were. Then she swam away. This has happened to us twice. Three times we have untangled a great white shark. Both the big ones lived. The little one lived for a while and then died.
Can I ask you, talk about the shark staying calm and still while you are doing that. Is that,
yes.
Just while we've got so many people listening, if you ever are unlucky enough to get attacked by a shark, is that the best thing to do to try and stay still?
Absolutely. Yeah. Don't fight back. You'll lose the fight. Sharks don't have hands. Fish don't have hands. They feel with their teeth. They can't swim up and grab hold of you and say, oh, I don't like this. They feel with their teeth. And if you stay still, and I've been bitten without the mesh suit on four occasions, they let go. They don't want you. But the human can't do that. They pull away. They struggle. And the shark hangs on the minute you start to struggle. You're pulling your flesh over the shark's teeth. I have been bitten hundreds of times wearing the mesh suit. The mesh suit, which was Ron's idea, stopped the shark's teeth penetrating. And I discovered how a shark attacked and how it bit and what the process was. And we went to university in La Jolla and told the scientists there, and they couldn't believe us, but they had a submarine and they had used it for studying sharks, and the sub had been bitten many times. And we went down and looked at it, and I said, see, they put their bottom teeth in first. All his bites are bottom teeth, none top. Once they get the bottom teeth in, they drop down the top teeth in. It's like a wood saw. They saw. It's a wood saw, you press it on a piece of wood. You have to press it really hard and nothing happens. You've got to move it backwards and forwards.
Mm-hmm.
Sharks' teeth are the same. And there's only a few sharks that have teeth like a saw. The other sharks don't, like the grey nurse, which used to be blamed for every shark attack, couldn't bite anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not designed to bite people. It doesn't have the teeth to cause damage.
Well, for shark enthusiasts, there are plenty of shark facts in this documentary. It's called Playing with Sharks, the Valerie Taylor story. Aside from that, it's a story with lots of heart and a really strong message to look after these beautiful animals. Valerie Taylor, it's been a privilege to talk to you today. Thank you for the life you've given to sharks and the time you've given to us today.
Oh, Oh, I'm still going to do it as soon as I'm out of lockdown. Thank you very much for having me, and I'll talk to you anytime.